What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports, the wackiest hijinks and analysis. Adam, how's it going, sir?
Graham, it's going very well. It's so nice to look at your face again.
It's been a long time.
While we have this little intro here, we've got our special social distancing circular table set up here.
Right.
Because, you know, talking over the phone just wasn't working anymore. It was messing with our mojo.
Yeah.
It was messing with your mental health with all the editing that you had to do.
Yes.
So, back in person, this is very fair. I'm glad to be here. And we have a special guest today as well, which
right.
is very exciting. And this, do you want to introduce the gentleman to my left?
Yes, and this is not going to be a normal show. This is going to be, we've gotten a lot of demands about how boring we've been over the last few weeks in terms of just sort of regurgitating the same shit. Baseball sucks. NBA is going to happen at some point. Now we know NBA is going to happen at the end of July. And we're just going to keep talking about this forever. So we got a lot of, a decent amount of praise about our history of Atlanta sports hockey episode.
That was a fun
and
one.
So we thought, well, we know a guy who knows a thing or two about history, for Christ's sakes, so let's bring him on the show. And so we'd like to introduce our good friend, Jeff El Señor de Delore. Welcome, sir.
What's up, Atlanta sports fans? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Even looks like a radio DJ. He's got sunglasses on, Neil Young shirt on. It's great.
So good to see you. So this is a guy, you also might know him as Jeff Wardo, I believe. Have you ever been on the show before here, Jeff Warren?
No, I've never been on a podcast, actually.
Man, so, it's your debut.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, I listen to podcasts a lot, so should be fun.
Everybody has to have one at this point. I mean, if you don't have a podcast or appear on a podcast, you're kind of a loser.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing with your life otherwise?
Yeah. Winning today.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty glamorous, right?
Oh, yeah. Very glamorous. Got the sunshine, but, you know, this shade umbrella, some cold drinks. And I even got some notes in front of me on Atlanta sports history, specifically bringing the Braves and the Falcons to Atlanta.
Cool. So what makes you qualified, first, before we get started? What makes you qualified to come in here and give us this lesson about Atlanta sports history?
Well, okay. I'll start with, I'll go the opposite direction and be like, what could be skeptical about having me on here?
Sure.
And that's that I'm not an Atlanta native. Nor am I even the most diehard Atlanta sports fan. However, I like the Braves. I like the Falcons, sure. But I do teach history. I teach U.S. history
in
high school.
And that turned Adam on so much that he just took off his shirt.
He took his shirt off.
Once he said history teacher,
all
Adam's like, God, my nipples are getting hard.
Okay.
I gotta expose them.
First time nipples are out during the podcast. History. Speaking of history.
Yeah, history in the making.
Wow. This feels really special. But yeah, I mean, I like listening to you guys and learning about Atlanta sports and, you know, ready for baseball to come back.
God, please.
For sure. So. But yeah, I did some research and I got some funny stuff along with some factual information for you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So where shall we begin?
Well, shit.
Just dive right in there.
Let me just dive right in.
Throw out some knowledge and, you know, we'll talk about it.
Okay, cool. So I dove into the history of the Braves franchise. I'm sure there's some stuff that you guys already know, being the longest continually operating sports franchise in North America.
Yes, I did. I remember they put that on the wall on Turner Field as if that was some, like, historic accomplishment in terms of winning championships or something. It was just like, it ran across like the entire outfield wall at 1 year. It's like the longest continuously running sports franchise in American sports history or something.
Yeah.
And it had all these different eras going like the Boston Bean Eaters and all
right,
this other
right,
shit.
Right. Yeah,
I was just like, I remember looking at this at Turner Field and just being like, oh, what is this about? And I was like, oh, okay, great. I mean, that's cool and all, but do we really need to put that across the entire outfield wall? Or maybe it's just right field. I can't remember. But either way, I was just like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But now I do want to know about it.
It's something to pride in, Graham. It's not something to get all worked up.
Well, you know, I have pride in, you know, World Series championships and National League championships. I'm not even going to say division titles anymore because I'm sick of those things. But I don't really... Does that, like, stir your emotions up and make you want to, like, get out there and fuck the day or
well,
something?
Well, let's see if I can kind of help that.
Okay. But I want Adam to answer that first. Does that really get you that pumped up?
It doesn't get me that pumped up, but it doesn't get me so upset. Like, just a basic fact that they've existed for a long time.
That's fine. I'm not talking about the fact. I'm talking about the way it's presented.
Explain
as if that's something to be, like, you know, Oh, man. Oh, God. Well, I just take such pride in that. I'm going to take someone to Turner Field and say, hey, did you know that we're the longest continuously operating sports franchise in sports history or whatever it is?
It takes some resources and skill to, like, operate a franchise continuously. You think you could run a
It's not about what I can do. I just don't think it needs to be put on the right field wall.
Well...
Why don't you put something else on there? Like a
that's
accomplished.
That's a hot start.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so
I'm going to derail everything this way. So just be prepared.
You just want 1966 and on, which is when.
No. I want you to go as far back as you want.
I mean, on the
I want to learn more about this.
Right field wall.
All I'm saying is that I don't want to see it on my right field wall.
Right, that's all.
I would like to know more about it.
You prefer like a peanut advertisement or something?
Sure.
Heinz ketchup.
Yeah.
Cracker Jacks.
That makes you feel better about yourself.
It doesn't make me feel better about myself, but it, you know, or put some accomplishment of like I don't know. Even Dan Uggla's shitty hitting streak. Dan Uggla, 33-game hitting streak. I mean, I still wouldn't like that on there, but I prefer it over the longest continuously operating sports franchise because so much of that has nothing to do with where we are right now. And even though a lot of accolades and banners and shit don't have a lot to do with the people on the field at the moment, I just look at it and shrug. Yeah, at the time. Now I'm just pissed off about it, as you can tell.
Yeah, as a listener of this podcast, I knew that you'd be skeptical, but damn, we haven't even got to the first bullet point here.
That was just like the header.
Yeah. Well, 1871 is the year.
Man.
Wow.
They were the Boston Red Stockings, which is kind of cool. I mean, I grew up with Boston Red Sox.
Right.
And, listeners don't give a shit, but they moved to Milwaukee, as I'm sure you know, and they were the only team that played at least one season. They had no losing seasons. They had winning records every year when they were up there.
In Milwaukee?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
According to, I think that was a Wikipedia poll. So I tried to track some sources here, guys, be legit about it. But before we get out of Boston, though, so I found a fun fact on Babe Ruth. Did you know he was once a player for this organization?
Yes.
The Braves organization? You knew that. Okay. What do you know about that?
I know he was in Boston.
End of his career, kind of, right?
He was in Boston, and then he got traded to the Yankees, right? And then that caused everyone in Boston to think of the whole Curse of the Bambino.
Ah, yes.
Sort of
okay,
thing.
So
he was a Boston Brave.
No, so he was a Boston. He's Boston Red Sox.
Right.
Right, and then the Yankees, and then after that, which I never knew this, he actually finished his career with the Braves.
Oh, so we got him when he was an old piece of shit?
Old piece of shit, and it's a really funny story, the more I kept looking into it. So when he got traded, it came with the assumption, or the guarantee that he'd be the vice president.
Of the Milwaukee Braves?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of the longest continuing
and the assistant manager.
Franchise.
Yeah. So he was assistant manager, he was supposedly vice president, probably more of a title than actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make headlines, I'm sure. And apparently he could hit still. Very well, but his fielding was so bad that the rest of his teammates like threatened to strike and not play if they were going to put him in the field anymore.
Lord,
like it was that bad. He couldn't field for shit.
What position did Babe Ruth play?
Was he an outfielder?
Dude, I can't remember. I think so.
That sounds right.
They probably threw him all over. Like,
well, I know he pitched.
That'd be something to look at.
Do you know
he pitched early on?
Do you know how old Babe Ruth was at the end of his career? Because you know, like back then, like a guy looks like he's like 50, but he's really like 27 and just takes terrible care of himself.
Right, drinking whiskey, eating 10 hot dogs at a time.
During a game,
this guy,
yeah.
But the real reason I wanted to even bring that up is
he played outfield.
He played outfield, okay. Yeah, and it was apparently probably couldn't move, I don't know. But he could still hit, and he actually hit, Jesus, okay, my pages are blowing in the wind. So, get this, he hits his last three home runs in one game, May 25th, 1935, and then 6 days later retires. He was just that's done.
Wow.
But he was still smashing the ball. Three home runs in one game.
So,
he was 714. But anyway, we can get let's move ahead. You're right. That was kind of a backstory. Let's move ahead to when they're actually moving from Milwaukee to Atlanta. Right. So Hank Aaron, already a huge star up there.
Warren Spahn.
Uh-huh.
I believe that was his.
They
era.
Won one World Series in Milwaukee, I believe too. The Milwaukee Braves.
Hell yeah.
No.
Do you know who the manager was?
I don't.
Okay. No. I know that we have three World Series. I believe one in Boston, one in Milwaukee, and obviously one
So when
in
we moved to, like, Guadalajara in 2020, 2047, excuse me, will win a World Series down there too.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep it moving. Yeah.
Okay. So we're in Atlanta, right?
So, okay, I got this guy, William Bartholomew, is an insurance executive, I think based out of Chicago. And I bring up his name, not just for factual purposes, but
that's
William,
a hell of a name.
William Bartholomew, if you shorten it, that is Bill Bart, which is hilarious. Ooh. Good name.
Big Bill Bart.
Big Bill Bart. He was the one who just was trying to get him out of Milwaukee as soon as he bought, the franchise. He wanted a better TV market.
Okay. Yes.
Meanwhile, Atlanta was going through a lot of changes. This is right like mid-60s, even early 60s. They're trying to push getting pro sports here just to revamp the city a little bit.
Sure.
Trying to put this in historical context with the civil rights movement. Like, Birmingham was really fucking up and, like, hosing people, you know, for protests and all that. Atlanta decided to go kind of a different route under this the mayor of Atlanta, Ivan Allen Jr.
Wasn't Birmingham, Alabama, in consideration for getting the Braves?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing stories about that. Like, they picked Atlanta over. Or Birmingham either. No. Sorry. This had nothing to do with Atlanta sports. This is the airport. It was Hartsfield-Jackson originally was going to be built
okay. In
Birmingham.
Well, that
kind of
goes along with it because in reading about this, decisions that were made around that time kind of could have swayed Birmingham to be more of the business center of the South. Or Atlanta, and kind of the decisions. As we were preparing for this podcast, minimal preparation, and as the three of us, you know, mostly we just sit around.
We had a conversation.
Yeah, we had a conversation. You're like, you told me, you're like, Ivan Allen Jr. is the guy you're going to want to look up. So I did plenty of research on him, and he was a big reason why Atlanta got both the Falcons and the Braves, and then, you know, most likely the Hawks, I mean, once this shit got rolling. But
he pushed to have the stadium built, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. I mean, not to mention pushing the city through civil rights era and
that's right.
Leading them. He was a very significant person in Atlanta.
They even named a street after him.
Yes, they did.
They sure did, yeah. I believe it's down by the Braves.
Yeah, it's downtown.
Yeah, so he actually ran in 61 to be mayor and kind of campaigned on putting a stadium in place and like making it more of a business center. And to do that, he kind of tied in the segregation thing of like trying to make it more of a business central place and desegregating, making it more of a better environment for everybody. I keep drifting back and forth in this microphone. Sorry. So there was a lot of public support, but they actually didn't have a lot of like money to get it going. So the phrase that I saw several sites is. They built a new stadium on land they didn't own with money they didn't have for a team that they hadn't signed yet.
Wow.
So this is before they didn't know it was going to be the Braves. They actually were courting the Kansas City A's before they moved to Oakland.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right, so they actually had a deal locked up with them, and then the American League wouldn't let the A's transfer to the National League. Is according to my research.
So basically, they took a Field of Dreams approach, build it and they will come.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly.
That's
what
a ballsy. I mean, that's risking everything.
Yeah.
Imagine if no team came, all the money and resources that went into building the stadium
right.
and all that.
18
shit.
Million is what I found.
Okay, so yeah, like inflate that to today's standards, and God knows how much money.
Do you know what the inflation rate is?
No,
right?
But I imagine it's probably triple, quadrupled, quintupled, somewhere in that range. That's a significant. Investment.
I think
Atlanta would have been fucked forever, potentially.
Well, that seems like a bit of a reach.
Well, I mean, fuck, but we would have been Birmingham.
No,
do you want to be Birmingham?
No
offense to all due deference to Birmingham, but I'd rather, you know, be Atlanta now.
Well, Atlanta was just like a lot more progressive back then, which I think is kind of where you're going. That's why Atlanta became like the booming city in the South, where Birmingham, I don't know what the hell they do down there. But they weren't as open-minded as Atlanta and Ivan Allen Jr., and that's why we got all these professional sports teams. And
that's right.
That's why we grew, and they did not.
I think $18 million. They actually, it's worth noting, in 63, when they started to build it, they basically took out a whole neighborhood. If you think about it, of course, that makes sense. It's pretty close to downtown, right? There's probably lots of houses there.
Yeah. Summerhill area.
Yeah, it was actually called Washington-Rawson neighborhood. Yeah, right next to Summerhill. Right, just south of, what's the capital?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, that's kind of how it happens still to this day. Anytime they build something new, they're pushing people out of their homes.
Well, think about Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right? Destroyed the church that was down there. cleared out some houses. Right. So, yeah, it's just unfortunately a part of the stadium building game.
Now it's just sitting there and doing nothing.
The Mercedes-Benz, yeah. It's the most worthless investment Arthur Blank's ever made.
Atlanta's ruined.
Atlanta is totally ruined. Thanks, Arthur. Just kidding.
I'm going to have to implode that one, too.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Blow up the Death Star.
No, so it is worth noting that, you know, there's drawbacks, and I'm sure Ivan Allen Jr. wasn't perfect, but he has a cool record. I mean, going off of the sports thing for a second, let's see. I got a lot of this information from Atlanta History Museum, so... he was in 47, getting back to 47, he was head of the Atlanta's Community Chest. It's like a charitable giving organization, right? And he was the first white man asked to attend the Black Division's kickoff dinner, which I guess is a big deal. So he's already has, like, trust in that community, right? 1960, he's elected to be the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and he kind of leads this initiative called Forward Atlanta, which is kind of circling back on that thing, like, Atlanta's taken a much different approach, seemingly, than Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. The thing I love about Ivan Allen Jr. is he grew up, like, he came from a lot of money, lived in Buckhead in some massive mansion, had servants growing up.
Right.
The whole shebang. And, like, he started off in his younger days with segregationist ideals still at that point in his life.
Uh-huh.
But he evolved. And, like, became the mayor who, I mean, he starts that foundation you're talking about. He pushes us through civil rights. Like, his first day in office, he desegregated City Hall that was still, like, had separate bathrooms, drinking fountains, all of that at the time. Right. So, like, just the fact that he was allowed to evolve as a person and, like, realize his thinking in the past was wrong and think differently nowadays, like, now... like, all of his shit would be on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, but, Mr. Allen, I understand that you just desegregated City Hall, but 20 years ago you said this and that. So...
what a good point. People can change.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you know what was the...
and that should be praised.
Yeah. Do you know what the catalyst was for his change in thinking?
I don't exactly know. Mm-hmm. I just think as he grew up and, like, hanging out with all these... not hanging out, but doing business with all... the prominent Black families of Atlanta that are here because of the historical Black colleges. I think that was another huge thing for Atlanta as far as us progressing. I think it's... I don't know exactly, no, but that's my...
that's your hunch.
Thoughts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's cool. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to finish up about Ivan Allen Jr., right? He was... once it didn't work out with the Kansas City Athletics... the Milwaukee Braves, you know, they were interested in moving from Milwaukee, and there's a, you know, the big stadium just freshly built, got it done really quick, and the Braves move here, and the first season was 1966, and Ivan Allen Jr. is asked to throw out the first pitch to the first game that's sold out, and I had a note here where Graham Waldrop, if you were around back then... do you think you'd be calling? Be calling all those people going to the first game of a new team? You think you'd call them posers, or?
That's a great question.
Look at all these fucking posers.
Interesting.
That's a great question, because you got to think about it, right? There are no baseball teams in the South, right?
Yeah.
There are no.
Well, not on
a professional not on level.
Right.
There are no professional football teams really in the South at that point that I know of. So. I don't know if it's one of those things if I would have embraced it or not. I think I would have liked it. I think I would have liked it.
I'm just trying to give you a little shit over.
No, no, sure. But I think I would have liked it. But I could also see myself back then being like, the hell's wrong with you, man? I'm a loyal Yankees fan or something like that.
Right.
Because, you know, the Yankees were the team of the time.
Right.
And maybe I would have stayed loyal to them.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
The Cardinals, I think, were around. And probably.
Yeah. Maybe the Cardinals because they're a little geographically closer.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's wild to think about. Like, sidebar, as when we had my mom on the show two years ago, and she was talking about why she moved to Atlanta was to be live in a city with a professional baseball team. But she grew up a Yankees fan, and then, you know, as we all know, she's diehard in the world Atlanta sports fan. So, who knows? I don't know. I have no idea what would have happened. But I think if I lived here, I probably would have embraced the team.
Yeah,
based off your history at Atlanta United, I would disagree, Graham.
But Adam, I don't care that much about soccer. It's different. Like, I've always loved baseball.
Right.
Well, how do you know you would love baseball if there weren't a team in Atlanta?
I don't know. It was more so America's game back then. Everybody had a baseball team. Most people liked baseball. So I imagine I would have had a baseball team, and then I would have been interested in a baseball team being here, be able to go to games and shit. So,
I think you should be a little more open-minded, Graham.
I know. I'm a very closed-minded individual.
Yeah.
And I need to acknowledge that and try to better myself.
Keep your options open. Okay?
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry if I offended your woke ass.
Anyway, yeah, I know how to bait you a little bit with that.
Oh, that's
one.
Fair.
God,
was I a different version of me alive back then, and you did some research?
Right? I thought you were saying Graham Waldrop was the guy who caught the pitch for Ivan Allen.
How'd that feel? I don't know, man.
Been daydreaming about baseball so much, we're just going back in time now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, but wouldn't we just kill to be watching a game?
Braves probably have a Saturday afternoon game on Fox right now.
Right, yeah. and Florida playing the Marlins.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you guys? I'm sure you knew this. I didn't know it was called Truist Park now.
Yes, Truist Park. Yeah, we talked about that. It's the new
SunTrust Bank.
SunTrust
and
SunTrust
and BB&T have merged to become Truist.
Truist.
Oh.
And they misspelled Truist. Instead of EST, it's IST. I don't know why.
Very clever.
I don't know why companies like to do that.
That was back in the good old days, though, where we complained about things like the name of the Braves stadium.
Right, where that was something to get upset about.
And we're like, man, when they're back in April, are we going to say we're going to Truist? The Truist?
I'm going to the TP?
Yeah.
Which is offensive.
I don't care what it's called.
Yeah, it's like, just, you know, you can call it Shit Stained Mountain Stadium, and I go to it if there was baseball. And it was safe.
Man. And proper social distancing.
I have the whole section to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to bring in my own hot dogs.
I did want to pass along some really good points I found from this article written by Howard Bryant for ESPN.com back in 2011. This was on continuing with, like, the civil rights, the way civil rights was intertwined with pro sports, right? Everything was in the mid-60s. Howard Bryant wrote about, how once the Atlanta Braves started playing, it was always segregated seating was prohibited, and there was shared restrooms right away. So going along with Ivan Allen Jr.'s kind of approach, right, integration.
So what I think is actually interesting about that is that there was segregation in stadiums before that, particularly in the 30s. And St. Louis was among those. New York, the New York Yankee Stadium was. So that's cool that it opened without segregation, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's also fascinating to think about, like, you'd have different sections for fans. I mean, that's just nuts to me. It's horrible. Like, I don't.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, you know.
Huh. Like, yeah, no, it's like
within our parents' lifetimes.
Well, in the 60s, yeah, but in the 30s, not so much. But it's still like only like 70-ish years ago.
Your grandparents' lifetime.
Yeah, grandparents' lifetime. Yeah.
Two people ago.
Right. Nuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continuing with the article from Howard Bryant. It was called, by the way, it's called Atlanta Pro Sports and Integration. And he brings up some cool stuff about Hank Aaron's role in the kind of transition to Atlanta. And Hank Aaron was from Mobile, Alabama, and did not want to return south, just the way he was treated and the way he was seeing people treated. You can't really blame him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think other, like, black leaders at the time saw the potential in just, because Hank Aaron was a huge star, so they saw the potential of him going to Atlanta and being successful there as a black man, as a black player, and just what that could do. Hank Aaron, from what I could tell, wanted to, felt kind of guilty about not doing more of, like, in his position to help all the, like, the bigotry and segregation and all that, right? But he met with the leader of the NAACP, he met with Martin Luther King Jr., and they kind of urged him to give it a try and say, this will be enough. Like, your role in just playing for this team and kicking ass is going to do big things for racial relations.
Yeah.
And, you know, by all accounts, it probably did. I mean, think about the iconic home run when he passed Ruth. You know, you got two white guys went out there and pat him on the back.
Right. Well, it was crazy to me about Aaron is the fact that he was able to do that amidst death threats, amidst, you know, people just giving him so much shit, hate mail, threatening his family,
I'm sure,
and all
we
that
don't
stuff.
Know the half of
I
it.
Can't imagine going out there and trying to play a silly game at the highest. I mean, it's not a silly, but I mean, at the end of the day, baseball is a silly game. But playing a silly game at the highest level when you're under death, you know, getting death threats, your families could be in peril, and there's so many people that just hate you for how you look. I mean, the guy, there's so many great athletes in the history of Atlanta, but I don't think there's anyone who would ever disparage the name of Hank Aaron in any respect. Classy individual all the way through, and a heroic, brave person. I mean, Jesus Christ, I can't imagine what he went through.
I've never heard anything negative about Hank Aaron.
Everybody hails him as just the greatest human, one of the greatest people that ever fucking walked the earth. I mean, the guy is just an impeccable person.
That's cool, though, that it's like, maybe he felt like he needs to be, like, speaking out more, but just like him being there was powerful enough.
Yeah, I mean, his actions spoke multitudes in terms of he did it. He's the home run champion, you know, this guy.
Yeah, from Mobile. And I did see a line where, in reading online, where it said like he once the civil rights stuff got more like momentum nationwide, he started to take a little bit more of a stance, but still was feeling like he wasn't making. Big enough, you know, more of a stance, meaning like in press conferences and stuff, you know, trying to speak out against racist bullshit. Speaking of racist bullshit, the governor, the Georgia governor, Lester Maddox.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
He was elected in 67 on a racist segregationist platform. So all this talk about how good Ivan Allen Jr. is as a mayor of Atlanta, years after, I mean, 67, this guy Maddox is elected on a segregationist platform. It's crazy.
He was directly after Ivan Allen Jr.?
No, so he's two different positions.
Oh, for governor.
Yeah,
governor.
Ivan Allen
got it, got it, got it, got it.
Right. But that's just to tell you what the state of Georgia was like.
Yeah. Well, similar to it now, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't change that
City
much.
Of Atlanta.
Right.
Democratic mayor.
Yeah, Republican governor.
Yeah. Yeah, Lester Maddox, he was a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, full on KKK type of guy.
Yeah. What was his impact on Georgia sports, if any?
I don't know. I just I didn't really go further into that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I don't know too much about him. I just thought it was
worth mentioning.
Gotcha. So that's really all I have on the Braves coming to Atlanta. You know, they were just kind of off and running after that. Gained a lot of popularity, of course, and then really took off in the 70s with the TBS nationally televised deal. Speaking of Ted Turner, though, I wanted to sneak this in here. Did you guys know that he was manager of the Braves for one game?
Yes.
Yeah. You know about this?
That he managed
the Braves. I didn't know that. Yeah.
That's
so
wild.
And I guess he would have done it longer if there wasn't a rule against that.
Right. And the thing was, too, is that they sucked so much then during the 70s that it was just kind of like, fuck it. You know, why not?
Yeah,
I own the team.
It, yeah.
Screw it at this point. Like, we got to try something new.
Well, wasn't that when Bobby Cox was GM, or am I?
That was a little before Bobby's time.
Okay.
Bobby was more, I think, in the 80s as the GM.
Yeah.
And then, but I think in the 70s, I don't think anyone in the current, of the Braves regime we know, you know, the 90s regime was part of the organization at that point. Or if they were, I don't remember. Other than maybe Hank Aaron in some advisory capacity.
Yeah, that's a classic example of an owner sticking their head. Like, you want the owner. You want an owner like Ted Turner, for sure, who's going to just give you money for whatever you want. But, you know, like, that's a bit of an Arthur Blank move. Like, with Arthur Blank putting out in the press who we're going to re-sign and all that.
Yeah.
So Ted Turner just, like, being like, oh, no, I could coach these guys.
Right.
I got that covered. Just like,
yeah.
Ted, take a seat.
I think he was just desperate to just do something. Because, I mean, like, Ted Turner was one of those owners, like, I don't think of him in the same breath of Steinbrenner in terms of just being so psychotic in terms of wanting to win, but Ted Turner wanted to fucking win.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't buy teams just to, you know, not that any owner does that, but, you know, there's a lot of owners that will think financially first, and he was not one of those guys. He was like, the only reason he's going to think financially first is to put his team in a position to win, and that's what I always loved about Ted as an owner. Even though, you know, he struggled and made some bad moves over the course of his career as an owner, he was always trying to win and did whatever he could to win. So I always respected him for that.
Who do you think's a better owner, Ted Turner or Liberty Media?
That's the dumbest question ever asked in the history of Atlanta sports.
Even on this podcast?
Even on this podcast.
I've never asked a dumber question.
No, never. Even though you did that as a joke, I know, but yeah. that was a good one.
For the record, that game, in case you're curious, Ted Turner, when he was the manager...
They lost, right?
They lost, but Phil Niekro pitched a complete game.
Nuxy.
Which is impressive, and they still lost. That 2-1.
Phil Niekro.
I can't believe you pitched a complete game and you lose. That's so depressing.
He pitched until happen. He was like 49.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, he's the original Jamie Moyer. He was still pretty good, even when he was almost 50 years old, so. Good God. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I remember, I saw some stat where, like, he was, like, the oldest pitcher to throw a no-hitter at, like, 41 or something, and then he went on to pitch 8 more seasons after that.
Insane. Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, his stuff wasn't predicated on throwing fast. Not too many guys were back then, but especially with the knuckleball. I mean, I could put some stress on your elbow, but the fact that he wasn't throwing that hard, I think, added to the longevity of his career, especially if that was his primary pitch.
Old Nux.
Wish I could have seen him in person, man. He was a wizard.
I've met him in person.
Have you?
Have I not told the story?
I've never heard the story.
Where, when I was interning with the Gwinnett Braves, like, Nuxie was always, like, around that stadium. Like, the one of the bars there is named after him.
Oh, cool.
There's, like, a... disgusting looking. Like,
was it Nux Fucks or something?
Oh, Jesus.
Good you God, get your hamburgers man. And dildos and
no,
whatever else you need.
There was like a sandwich called the Nuxie. It was like a burger with like just like an ice cream scoop of like coleslaw on top of it. It
Jesus. It sounds disgusting. If I were him, I would have consulted on that burger a little bit.
But me and the guy I worked with, Brantley, we two both know.
Yeah.
We were having a debate on proper pitching form and whether or not you should step straight back, which I said.
All right.
And then Brantley said you should step off to the side.
Okay.
And we were going back and forth. I was pretty adamant that I was right, because if you're stepping straight back, you're keeping your body in a tunnel. You're not getting outside like right. Brantley wanted to do. And then we see the Hall of Fame pitcher walking on the concourse. I mean, like, there's no one else there. It's just me and Brantley and Phil Niekro. And we ask him.
Yes. What did he say?
He was so nice about it. I was like, I don't know if I called him Phil or...
Mr. Niekro?
I don't think I would call him Mr. Niekro.
No. Hey, Phil.
Yeah,
hey, Bo.
Probably Phil. Phil or Bo. Something like that. Just asked him. I was like, hey, we're having a little pitching debate here. Like, what would you say?
Do you know anything about this? We really need someone to settle this debate.
And he agreed with me for the same reasons. Keep everything lined straight up.
Yep.
I was like, all right, thanks, Bo. And then we moved on.
Sure.
All right. So I'm so glad you brought up the Gwinnett Braves. I was really hoping for a chance to work in this little rabbit hole that I went down.
Nice.
Really a stretch. That's really the only connection to sports here. But I researched a little bit about Button Gwinnett. You know about him?
Yeah.
His name is Button, first of all,
right.
But I didn't know
Gwinnett County,
about this guy.
Gwinnett County is named after him.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
Wasn't he in a shootout or a duel or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. You guys must have paid attention during Georgia history.
My dad just told me about one time we were driving through Gwinnett County. He's like, you know why it's called goddamn Gwinnett County? And I was like, why? He's like, oh, it's Button Gwinnett, son of a bitch, it's in a damn duel.
He got into
blah,
a duel,
blah, blah.
Right. So he was this British-born
and then
guy.
And I tuned him out the rest of the time. So I'm interested to hear the rest
he
of it.
He was a representative for Georgia to the Continental Congress, which is before, the Constitution or anything. Signed the Declaration of Independence.
So we're talking like 1950s?
1950s, yeah. Yeah, he was a classmate of Ivan Allen Jr. he was elected provisional president of Georgia, 1777, and Gwinnett County named after him, right? And then, he was, him and his co-worker, buddy, I didn't research this guy, but this dude...
unnamed
guy that killed him. They tried to invade East Florida together and it failed and they both blamed each other.
Invade East Florida with an army?
Get some more land, like, I don't know, with some people. I don't know.
Jesus, God.
Yeah. Gotta work for that land. So.
Of all places, East Florida.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't know what a dumpster fire it was down there. So him and his bro.
All I really know about this story is that they challenge each other to a duel.
Because they got pissed off after the East Florida debacle.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Wait, so that's how he died?
And Gwinnett got shot and later died.
That's intense.
The wound.
I think I only know about him from when the Gwinnett Braves were doing their rename, and the Gwinnett Buttons was one of the finalists. Which is a terrible name for a baseball team.
Horrible name. Where they wind up being the strippers, the stripers. Yeah, such a stupid name.
They really should have gone with the Gwinnett Waffle Batters.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Waffle House was incorporated in Gwinnett County.
Yep. That would have.
They didn't listen to me and John Rice.
Real missed opportunity.
Yep. What are you going to do?
No. These damn marketing people think they know everything.
Yep. Can I throw in one quick thing about baseball before we move on to football?
Yes.
The Houston Astros, I believe, are also incorporated in 65. You know what their name was before the Astros? The
Bullets, right? No, the,
better.
Let me think. It's something really stupid. It was like I don't know. I have
the
no
Houston
idea.
Colt 45s.
Colt 45s. I knew that had something to do with a gun.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Very Texas. oh, wait. Okay, I do have one more thing about baseball. The 66 season. I was trying to think, okay, is there anything noteworthy about the season besides it being the first? This pitcher, Tony Cloninger, for the Braves, hit 2 grand slams in 1 game and had 9 RBIs. Pitcher.
Jesus, God.
Yeah.
And now, we're not going to get the opportunity for that to ever happen. Because if baseball ever comes back, we're getting
is it the universal
the
DH is going to happen?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, would that be forever?
It would be for this year and next year, which means it's not coming back.
Is that like a trial period or something?
Yeah, but I feel like once they go with it,
how can you go back?
Back?
Right.
Anyway, honestly, wouldn't it be bad for the Braves?
Just,
now we don't have this little Johan Camargo, Austin Riley debate.
Right, we can have a DH. One of them can be the DH.
Freddie can
or, excuse me, Austin Riley will be the DH.
Yeah, sure.
Most of the times, Camargo's a better defender.
Yeah. Whatever. If baseball.
If baseball, but that will never happen. Just even talking about that
what
got
we
me.
Talk about modern.
It got me. Yeah, it got me excited
Take
for
us
a
back
second.
With the buttons.
I want to learn more about this goddamn East Florida crusade.
Yeah, I am intrigued at that.
Yeah, it was. Where did I even find that?
That sounds
shit.
Like just like they got drunk. Got some friends together. We're like, let's go invade East Florida.
Yeah, they're like, they're like, fucking weak down there. We're going to go get their land. We're going to go take
they
it.
They fist pound each other.
Yeah,
it's like,
classic
do,
Brits,
let's do it,
eh?
Bo.
Bo, yeah.
Let's get after it, Bo.
Make sure you bring the ale.
Yeah, that was. I found that on New Georgia Encyclopedia, which is a great site for Georgia history.
A shout out to there. New Georgia Encyclopedia.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe they'd be a sponsor.
I'll tag them in the post. We'll see.
They're probably like just waiting on donations, like PBS.
Right.
Or something.
Hi, Bo. You want to sponsor a podcast?
No, we need all the freaking money we can get.
You sponsor us.
You sponsor us, man.
Wait, what's it called? The Georgia.
New Georgia Encyclopedia.
The New Georgia Encyclopedia, sponsored by. Brought to you by Atlanta's Own and Atlanta's. Ooh.
Who sponsors who?
Yeah, who sponsors whom? Do we sponsor them and they sponsor us?
We both pay each other.
No, now we're sponsoring them.
Okay. So they don't sponsor us, though?
No.
Well, that's not beneficial to us.
Well, yeah, it gets our name out there.
Oh, I guess. At their... Okay, fair enough.
Sponsorship goes both ways, Bo.
Got it, Bo.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to these silly Falcons.
Let's move on to these Falcons, and all right.
I'm talking about sponsorship opportunities that will never happen.
Okay, if we're moving on...
hypothetical.
Well, sure.
Let's move on to the Falcons. I will apologize if I mix up the Falcons and the Hawks team names.
Well, see,
I've done that before.
The Hawks, they play basketball.
That's right.
The Falcons, they play football.
I think that's right.
I'm aware, but they're both birds.
It
you know, sometimes I get confused.
Football, anyway.
Don't species profile, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, species profiler.
There's no Thrasher series.
Yeah.
Okay. Cancel me, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag Jeff is canceled.
Cancel Wardo.
Cancel Wardo.
All right, so I don't have as much information on the Falcons. Let's see. Now that the stadium is built, let's just start 66, right? The AFL and the NFL both vied for rights for the new stadium. And the NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle, came down to Atlanta, met with Mayor Allen Jr. and Rankin Smith, who was the first owner of the Falcons. I'm sure you guys know that.
Yeah.
They all met together and sealed the deal for the NFL, right?
Because they were choosing between the AFL... and the NFL. Correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Right. It's like 2 leagues back then. Yeah. When was the merger?
It's either like Well, think about it. There's 54 Super Bowls. I don't know, 70s, 60s, something like that. Who knows?
So they got in the NFL just
right around that time.
Yeah, something about that, yeah. Okay. Or were there Super Bowls before the merger? I don't know.
Yeah. Probably right around when Lester Maddox was governor of Georgia. I'm going to say that's when the merger was.
So there's 50 Super Bowls.
Oh, let's not mark our history by that.
Yeah.
Facts are facts. The name, the Falcons, do you ever think about where that came from? You know the story or anything?
I do not.
Okay, so... There was a contest, as you know. Damn it, Gwinnett waffle batters would have been good.
Exactly.
Okay.
Was there a duel to decide who would, what the name would be, in honor of the failed East Florida Crusade?
Somehow East Florida was involved. What does East Florida even mean? Like Jacksonville?
I love that term, East Florida. I just never heard anyone talk about that.
Right, right.
East Florida.
Many people. I don't know what you call it. Contestants in the contest?
Many
contestants,
people.
I guess.
Yeah.
Many people put in the name Falcons.
Okay.
And
what was the significance
behind award, that? Well, I'm sure they got inspiration from all the Falcons that, you know, cruise around these Georgia skies.
I actually know the answer to that, because Falcons are brave and heroic, and when they latch onto their prey, they don't drop it.
Dude, you know, you do know.
So,
hell yeah.
So this is a bad name for this franchise.
So this lady,
it's a really bad name for this franchise, considering we drop our prey all the fucking time.
Well, maybe...
maybe we should be renamed.
Optimistic name.
The Falcons need to be renamed. Maybe that'll help them.
This lady, Julia Elliott, was the one that came up with that that explanation. So she won. They chose her because of her explanation over everybody else. I have a quote from her, I believe. Maybe I don't. Adam, I think you got it. Oh, no, here it is. Yeah, the Falcon is proud and dignified with great courage and fight. It never drops its prey. It's deadly and has a great sporting tradition.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Poorly executed over the 50-plus years we've had this franchise.
Right.
With the not drop prey, I just think of all the open field missed tackles I've seen over my life.
Especially in the Dan Quinn era, which is ironic considering his defensive prowess, supposedly.
Indeed, Grant.
No.
Indeed.
I got
a... There's some sad sack fans sometimes.
We are. Well, you know, we have one championship in 50 years.
I know.
Well, I guess two if you count MLS.
It's not unwarranted or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just... It's funny. Sorry, listeners that are also as frustrated with Atlanta sports.
No.
Yeah.
It's even more frustrating not having
it, because especially because you got...
Because now all we have is our history to sit back on.
Right.
History's shit.
For the most part,
yeah.
Speaking of shit, the first season the Falcons were a team...
It was rough.
It was rough, yeah. So they were an expansion team, so the draft went like... This was kind of confusing, but they had the first and last pick in each of the first five rounds, and then rounds 6 through
Snake
20...
Draft.
Yeah, 6 through 20 Atlanta picked first in those rounds.
Jesus, and we still suck.
And they still suck.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And then they got, I don't know if this is right, 42 more players from each of the 14 NFL teams in an expansion draft that was held 3 months later. Okay.
Good God.
That checks out.
Yeah.
But it's all like dump.
Yeah, players. I mean, you think about like when the Diamondbacks and Tampa Bay Devil Rays were established, right? They got a lot of cast-offs.
Yeah. Yeah. What else are you gonna do? I mean,
Wade Boggs at the end of his career, you know, guys
they
like
did
that.
Get this
Wade
guy.
Wade Boggs was a
he's a Devil Ray. He's a Devil Ray.
Oh, no, he's a Devil.
Yeah. I'm putting them together. It's just like you're getting a bunch of either older players.
Fred McGriff.
Crime Dog. Yeah, he was there.
What was the old guy? The pitcher that the movie was about, the Disney movie.
Oh, the rookie.
Jim Morris.
Jim Morris. Yeah, he was there. I had a question for you, Jeff. It'll come to me later. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for Graham.
All right.
Do you know who the Falcons' first selection was?
No.
They had the first pick of that draft? Mm-hmm. First ever Falcon? Tommy Novus.
All-time great Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they
that was a good pick.
I was going to assume you guys knew it, who he was. Great, yeah.
It started
linebacker.
Yeah.
No.
From Texas.
And the Ring of Honor.
Rookie of the Year.
He's
made
in
the Pro Bowl first year.
He's in the rafters down at the
Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, the Ring of Honor.
Sick.
Side note, it's kind of exciting that the New Orleans Mercedes-Benz Stadium is getting renamed.
Yeah, now we're the only Mercedes-Benz. I'm good with it.
That feels a little better.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Yeah. It's a much better stadium
than
that dump down there.
Yes.
So you know about Tommy Novus. That's good. Let's see. What else do I have here? Yeah, they lost the first 9 regular season games.
True, to
the
Atlanta.
The first win was, as I'm sure you know.
I don't.
Okay, the New York Giants.
Oh, beat the Giants.
Yeah, imagine being the Giants and just, somebody's got
to. So they went to 1-9 with that win?
Giants must have Giants must have sucked that year.
Their overall record, their first home.
We said
victory.
They lost the first nine.
Yeah, I don't know how many games they played back then.
I don't think they played 16 games like they do now.
I think it's 14.
Oh yeah, 14. No. So they lost in the first three seasons. They lost at least 11 games. That fact.
Oof.
The first home victory came on December 11th. So that was the first year they won 16-10 against the St. Louis Cardinals. In front of 57,000.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
Playing a baseball team.
Yeah, that's the only way they can win.
That's it.
And now, the Falcons shared Fulton County with the Braves.
Right.
Right.
That's correct. It was just called Atlanta
Stadium. Fulton County Stadium, yeah.
It was just called Atlanta Stadium.
Oh, it was Atlanta Stadium. Yeah. It changed to Fulton County.
Yeah.
Right. I found this thing on Falcoholic.
Great website. Yeah.
About their the first year's training camp. Found this to be pretty funny. Up in Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Man, that's a long way away.
Yeah.
What do you know about Black Mountain?
I'm just saying, it's North Carolina. It's at least 4 or 5 hours.
Sure.
Maybe three.
Right, so it sounded like it was pretty crappy, right? Hot in the summer. The field wasn't even mowed properly. The players threatened to go on strike if the food wasn't improved.
Jesus.
So bad. Lots of mosquitoes, you know. And then also, a little booze involved.
Oh, they did have booze.
Funny story. Well, yeah, they're... You know, they're trying to make the best of their situation, I guess. Running back Alex Hawkins. Huh. How about that name? Oh, no. Falcons, Hawks. Okay. Running back Alex Hawkins was found drunk on the back of a watermelon truck at 5 a.m. by his head coach.
Hell yeah. Sounds like a good time.
Oh, for real.
Really back of a kicking off the franchise proper.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that was before the first season?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So, I have a question for you in all your research.
Okay.
Did you discover any sort of odd shit about the establishment of the Falcons or Braves that would make them cursed? A la, you know, we know about the Red Sox curse of the Bambino. We know about the GOAT curse, Chicago, that was broken. Both those curses were broken. And not to say the Falcons and the Falcons are cursed, sure. The Braves at least have one World Series. Was there anything that would... that would say, okay, we can at least have some tangibility to the reason why we like to choke harder than any other city
and
for professional sports.
Yeah.
But is there anything that we can put that on? Or is it just we are fucking cursed?
I think it's a no-brainer, Graham. It's Dan Button Gwinnett. It is East Florida.
Crusade. All right, that's the reason. All right, you heard it here first. If there's ever was a reason for us to suck or to choke or anything, it's because of the goddamn failed East Florida Crusade. It set the precedent for failure in Atlanta.
I mean, that's why the Marlins have won multiple World Series, because they fought off
Button
Gwinnett.
They fought off in goddamn East Florida.
And then they get World Series and we get
one.
Shit.
They got two. We have one. And yet, would you think anyone would say that the Florida Marlins are a better franchise, or Florida/Miami Marlins are a better franchise than the Braves?
No, because we're the longest continually operating.
Put it on the
franchise.
Right field wall!
Right.
Do it! But I'm just saying, you would never expect that. And yet, they have more World Series than us. And at the end of the day, that's all that counts. And that sucks, because that organization sucks. It's a bad franchise. Oh, why do they have more World Series than we do?
To answer your question, though, Graham, I didn't find anything like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's probably one of those things that just didn't get recorded or is not easily available online.
Struck it from the record books.
Something. I mean, the 60s, you know, it could have been some shady shit going down that just wasn't passed along. And maybe we'll never know.
The world may never know.
But
might die with history, Graham.
You know? Wow.
But I think you're onto something. There probably was an event.
There's got to be a curse.
I like the Button Gwinnett curse, the East Florida, failed East Florida Crusade.
That's
my fact of the podcast.
That's probably what Dan Quinn was thinking about after he lost the Super Bowl. He's like, goddamn Button Gwinnett.
If he had just won that Crusade.
Then we would have won the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Adam, how much happier would you be right now if we'd won the Super Bowl?
Probably about the same.
I would think I'd be a lot happier.
I'm pretty even keel for the most
That's
part.
Fair. I think I'd be, like, I would not view life with as much negativity as I do.
I hate to say this for a you know, a guy who co-hosts an Atlanta sports podcast, but I feel like you glorify championships a little bit.
I think so. It's because I don't really have a lot of experience with it. I just don't know, like, I mean, like, as a Carolina basketball fan, I've experienced it, and I've loved that. But I definitely love the Falcons and the Braves and the Hawks more than Carolina basketball at this point in my life. So it's like, I don't remember the 95 World Series that much. And I just think, maybe it really isn't all that's cracked up to be, but I think about how sweet that would be to have one of my teams. I spent tons of money on going to games, merchandise, and just emotional investment. Hundreds of thousands of hours probably at this point. And I just want it so bad for myself, for you, for anyone who's a fan of Atlanta sports. I know United has won, which is great. I just don't care that much about soccer, and that's selfish of me. I'm happy that Arthur Blank has done what he's done with Atlanta United, but if one of those three teams could just win another championship, I think I'd be happier. But that also says a lot about me, that maybe I'm that's ridiculous that I'm staking happiness on a fucking sporting team.
Well,
now, I'm not staking all of it. I'm just saying I think I'd be a little happier because I love it so much.
Walk a little bit taller.
Yeah, I'd be able to hold my head up. I wouldn't slouch as much in the morning when I got up.
You put that bumper sticker on your car.
I have the 95 World Series bumper sticker on my car.
And then you could put a 2020 one on there.
Right, that'd be great. Even if the baseball happens and the Braves win a 50-game season, I'll be like, fine.
That would be so true to Atlanta, though, because, like, for me, the piece of winning a championship I want is going out to bars and watching these games and being around other fans.
Right, and just, like, high-fiving and going nuts.
So we would win in, like, the year where you have to, like, watch
right
inside.
You know who the last baseball team to win a shortened season World Series was? Or shortened season, yeah. In a shortened season, the last team to win a World Series.
Toronto Blue Jays.
The Atlanta Braves, 95. The 95 season was a little short. It was still like 130 games or something like that. But it's because of the strike.
That bodes well.
From 94. So maybe
I like that.
History could repeat itself. You never know.
I like that stat, Graham.
Right.
Positivity.
Right. And I'm not...
Wow.
And it's not to say I'm like some, like, you know, just absolute morose motherfucker, but it's just... I love sports so much, I just want to see my teams win. And everybody who's a fan, it's not unique, but I just think I think you're right. I do glorify a little too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a major breakthrough here today. This is good.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thanks, Jeff, for joining us giving us some fun facts to talk about.
That was fantastic.
Graham and I have been in a bit of a rut ourselves.
Yeah, especially creatively when it comes to the show.
So
thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you've taken more notes for this one episode than I have for...
3 years. Three and a half years, whatever it's been at this point.
So that was huge.
Yeah.
Sure. Happy to contribute and... You guys took my podcast virginity, so.
Ooh.
Yeah. It feels good. It feels good inside me.
I do a little research.
That's why my shirt's off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Once he started talking about high school teachers, I was like, oh, yeah. Fuck yeah,
oh,
baby.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God. There's lines, and Graham just crossed it.
No, he's a high school teacher. You took your shirt off after
teacher.
He said that. Yeah.
Got it, teacher.
High school teacher, you sick fuck. That was a great misinterpretation. Well... Thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope you are doing well out there. We'll see you next time. Until then, rise up, chop on, stay in brotherhood, unite and conquer, and remain true to Atlanta. Hospitamina sip.